Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Women Leading the Way Radio Show, where each time you'll hear from successful women CEOs, executives, and professionals, where we'll discover how they do what they do to be successful in business. We'll be interviewing women who have overcome big challenges, women who have incredible stories of lessons learned in dealing with adversity. We'll even interview women who have started and grown successful organizations and women who are C-level executives with unique talents and positions. Our goal is to bring successful businesswomen together to share how they're leading the way in business today. Hey, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Women Lead Radio, brought to you by Connected Women of Influence. I'm Michelle Berquist, your host of Women Who Lead, and with me today, we have a very special leading lady on our show. I am happy to introduce and want to have all of you get ready for an awesome show. I want to have you know Ilana Odess, and she is the Chief Executive Officer of Woven Orthopedic Technologies. And our topic today, which I think for so many of our listeners that are entrepreneurs or thinking about becoming entrepreneurs, if you are, quote, seeking investors, no is a yes with conditions. And we have a treat. I want to say, Ilana, can you say hello to all of our listeners?
Hello. Good afternoon here from the East Coast.
And I'm on the West Coast, so we've got the U.S. covered, which is really good. We're covered. We just need somebody from the Midwest. But anyway, I'm so delighted to have you on the show today. You know, there are these statistics out there that talk about, you know, Ilana, you've heard them, I'm sure, where people will say women are starting businesses at twice the rate of men, and women are, you know, starting businesses and doing these things, but they aren't getting the funding, you know, like some of our counterparts as, you know, other types of businesses and businesses started by men. And you have such an amazing background, which we'll share some of the highlights of you, but your company has gone through funding, and that's really the focus of our topic today. And can you kind of share what, you know, when you first started Woven and all of that, I mean, what was it for you that made you say, we're going to go for investors? Was it a have-to thing? Was it just because of your business model it made sense? Or what was it that you can share with our listeners that said, we're going to go after investors?
Okay. First of all, Michelle, thank you for having me. I'm very excited to be on this show. So first of all, in order to speak about Woven, I need to give some background. And Woven Orthopedic Technology is a medical device company that is designed to develop special orthopedic solution for aging population, what we call orthogeriatric patients, that we know is a growing market. 10,000 people enroll every day in the United States into Medicare and Medicaid. There are 500 million people in China, more than all U.S., that are over the age of 65. So it's a growing population. So before I started the business in Woven, I worked at an investment bank and saw many different deals. I loved this and got passionate about it because it addresses a very large unmet need, actually an unmet medical need. It also addresses a growing population, as I demonstrated. And I also believe that it was simple enough that it doesn't change anything in the medical practice, but adds additional fixation between the screw and the bone. So before I started raising money, I needed to really kind of check out the boxes and know that this is the right technology, that it's a large market, that there's no solution out there, and the current solutions don't address the lack of screw fixation and poor quality bone. And then when I knew that this is something exciting to me and I'm passionate about it, we started putting together all the necessary steps and plans and go out to the market and raise money. In our first stage, that was a very early stage, we obviously went to angel groups, and I could speak more about that later.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, and Ilana, it's interesting because I think, you know, just reading a little bit about you, and you and I've had a couple of conversations, you know, there is so much confusion on going after investors. And, you know, for you as an expert, where I know about you leading companies from concept to clinical application, you know, and there is just this amazing target market and this growing market that, you know, I heard your pitch when I was at an investor forum where I met, you know, you and your company and a representative from your firm. So I'm curious for you, when you put your package together, and we'll talk a little more about the packages, but, you know, how did you start out with deciding what investor groups to go pitch to, if I can put it that way? And if I can just real quick background, I know so many of our listeners, maybe you've seen, you know, the show Shark Tank, where you see entrepreneurs that will pitch, you know, their product or their business idea, and they get people to fund them. As an investor, they come in as a part owner. You know, they actually are involved, not where it's a loan, but they actually invest in a percentage of your business. So for you, Alana, how did you guys go about deciding which investor groups to pitch to? Because there's so many, and some of them are like a needle in a haystack. What was your process for that?
That is a phenomenal question. So we, first of all, believe that targeting the right investors will determine the success rate. And I'll divide this answer to two. Number one, it's very important to know what life cycles the business is. For instance, is it a startup? Is it in the growth? Is it a mature company? Because there's different groups and different forms to the stage of the company. The second thing is, what industry? Who are you going to approach? So if it's green tech or IT or healthcare, there are different groups. And you usually won't go to one group that doesn't do the core investment in that sector, because they just won't know enough and won't feel comfortable. So there's a lot of research that needs to go in before you approach the right groups. And that is very, very important to do. If I go back to that life cycle, it's important that if you only have, for instance, intellectual property, patents, and you don't have much more than that, you may want to go into a grant route, get an SBIR grant, which is a non-dilutive fund, get some credibility, get some achievements, and then go for your Series A. So that's a very early stage. If you achieved a little more than maybe a patent and you have some R&D, probably that's an angel stage. And obviously, if you're post-marketing and post-revenue, then you could go to the bigger guys like the VCs. But it's very, very important to identify the right groups, to do the research, to see which group are active investors, to see what they did in the last year in your industry, to speak to their references and see really what it took for them to get money. So as much due diligence as these groups do about your company and one's technology, you have to do about them and invest that time even before you approach them to know that you're actually getting on the right track, you're getting on the right path, because once you start that path, it takes a long time, and you want to make sure that it's the right path.
Those are all great. And, you know, I wanted to share, you know, our listeners, some of our listeners are very well-established business owners and, you know, entrepreneurs, and others maybe are looking to leave corporate America and start their own businesses. Can you share a little more on that, Alana, just in the sense that if you can share a couple of tips, where would someone start if they're a female entrepreneur and they're like, you know, is investor money even possible for me and my business venture? And I know you are really under, you know, medical, you know, that kind of like medical industry, device companies, that kind of thing. So you're very clear about your target market. Where would someone go to start looking for the right investors, like the SBA, or where would you recommend they go to research that?
So there's a lot of literature out there that mentions these groups. It could be Money Tree Report. It could be PitchBook that speaks about it. We went to angel groups, and then other angels within those groups recommended on other groups. So we went to Kiratsu, which is one of the largest angel groups today worldwide. They have a lot of chapters throughout the United States. And then from that group, I met someone that's active in Astia. Astia Angel is a woman They support women CEOs and invest only in women-led companies, so very appropriate to this program as well. And then we also got to a San Diego-based, even that we're on the East Coast, Tech Coast Angel. So it's really about putting yourself out there, but also reading some reports, seeing who are the active groups, speaking to your colleagues that are in this industry, and really understanding how they got it. But it's really pitch after pitch after pitch. It's hard work. It's a lot of traveling, a lot of FaceTime. Investors want to get to know the entrepreneur. They want to get to know the leader, the CEO. They want to see their passion, commitment, devotion, how they answer and handle questions. But in a nutshell, it's a lot of research that needs to be done. And once you get to the first group, I think it opens door to the next, and then it opens it to the next. We kind of mapped out all the 10 active VCs in our area, the 10 active angel groups in our area, the 10 active family offices in our area. So there's definitely ways to get to that information.
I love it. You know, just circling back on a couple of things you brought up, which, you know, makes me get excited and also, you know, very proud at the same time, is there are these new funds that are starting out where women are investing in female businesses, you know, and entrepreneurs. And I get excited about that because I think there are many women who will say as CEOs that and as entrepreneurs that they're not getting the same opportunities, you know, and that big question mark, I don't know if I can answer that today. I don't think you can either. We both probably have opinions on it. But, you know, coming back to the fact that you've really helped narrow the field. So you have, you know, local angel investor groups, you know, those will, it's a very small circle. I think we both agree on that, right? Once you get into that kind of conversation and that communication, anybody in the angel investor group probably knows others and they know others and you start that process. What is it like to approach an investor group to start with? You know, I mean, everybody will tell you, you got to have a business plan. You know, when people talk about pitches, now you have to have, you know, a presentation ready to go. But can you kind of walk us through what it was like to actually approach an investor group? Was it through a letter and you sent, you know, your executive summary, or what was your approach like, and what would you recommend for any of our listeners that are maybe thinking of that?
So most of these angel groups have websites, and there you submit your application. Gust is a very well-known server that most of them use. And then you're approached by a screening committee. That's when the entrepreneur goes and presents in front of the screening committee, and if they pass, they're invited to actually present to the investors themselves. So there is, again, preparation. The process could take anywhere between 2 months to a year. Some groups, some angel groups, ask for a full due diligence report, so they will have volunteers among the angels that will work with the CEO and will ask due diligence questions on the industry, the technology, the go-to-market, the revenue projections. They'll put together that report, and then you would come back and pitch to that group. So there definitely could be a process. Other groups, it could be a little shorter. So that's why I started before with my sentence that targeting the right investor group is very important, because they all take, you know, time. It's not a one-week process. Not in all cases do you need a full business plan, but you definitely need a very good pitch, a very solid slide deck. Some of these angel groups even have mentors that will coach you on the slide deck and would help you with that. So it's, again, a lot of collaboration, and people want to help you in order to get funded.
So another great answer that I can hear questions from some of our listeners already, you know, just if there's any experience for them in running businesses. You know, some investor groups I've heard through different female entrepreneurs will say they wanted to charge me, you know, to put in an application. I mean, did you ever pay to put in an application for an investor group? Is that common from your experience? And what would you recommend to anybody that sees that? I have heard that with different investor groups. If you want the coaching and the consulting or things like that, there might be a fee. Is that right, from your experience?
So with the
or?
Ones that I mentioned, there was no charge for application fee. There are others that I went through the process that there was also no application fee. Some of the groups, including the ones that I mentioned, there is a fee once you're invited to actually present. And some, there's even no fee for that. So they have different models, and not all of them even charge to present. So if someone is really light on the cash, you know, they would again choose the ones. Astia Angels doesn't charge. Other ones don't charge. So you would choose the ones that don't charge if you're very, very light on cash.
Love that. And then, I mean, what's an approximate fee? Are we talking a couple grand, $30,000, you know, what's kind of like standard fee from your experience?
It could be anywhere from $1,000 to $10,000, depends again on the area, on the region, on the group, and it could be for free.
Got it. You know, when you put your pitch deck together, you know, I mean, I think people use interchangeably the pitch, the slide deck, and then also the business plan. And the slide deck is so visual now. You know, I mean, it's pictures and videos and things like that. Can you kind of walk some of our listeners through what is it like to put a slide deck and a presentation together? Like, what are the kind of like key areas of what you need to be at the ready for in your presentation, if you don't mind sharing?
Yeah, I think, again, for the listeners, I could refer you to a new book that just came out called The Startup Checklist by David Rose. The book is phenomenal, really leads you step by step how to prepare for a startup. And he's also the CEO of Gust that a lot of these angel groups host. So he's a serial entrepreneur and definitely recommend. We developed kind of a 10-step approach that would have to be included in the slides. Presentation could vary according to the groups. It could be 5 minutes to 15 to 30, but you definitely have to have an elevator pitch, then the investment opportunity, the unmet need that you're addressing, the market size, the competition, the solution that the company brings, how you will generate revenue. So the business model is important. The 8th point would be barriers to entry. The 9th would be your team, which is very essential. You could only be as good as your team. And the last point would be a call of action. What are you looking for? What is your time horizon? What are you raising for? But the real call for action.
And, you know, I've heard from so many entrepreneurs that say they go through this process, you know, and they're thinking, okay, I make my pitch or I show my business plan, and immediately this is like pie in the sky with unicorns and rainbows. They'll say, okay, I'm going to get, you know, a boatload of money. And again, I'm being funny, and I know this is a serious conversation, but how long and what is the process like? If somebody raises their hand and you do a pitch and a potential investor likes you, what is some of the back and forth and the negotiations like? Because I know one of the things I love most when you and I were talking is you said, you know, no is basically a yes with conditions. You know, when you're working with a potential investor, it's like there's a dance here. I mean, there is finessing. There's things going back and forth. And can you kind of share what that process has been like for you and Woven to go juggle and go back and forth with investors?
Yeah, and I would say that's a great comment with all investors, including VCs, including government entities. You know, today states and cities give all kind of grants and incentives and loans. And entrepreneur will hear more no than yes. So it's about always, first of all, understanding that you have to have that grit, not getting, you know, high when you get the money or low when you don't get the money. And when you hear that no, basically try to say, maybe they said yes in certain conditions, and then go back and find out what the conditions are. Maybe it's too early and they want to see, you know, one more thing that will come in a month in your business plan. Maybe they just didn't understand one answer or question. perhaps it's a data point that's missing. So, again, my mentality is that when you basically walked through the door saying no, try to go in from the window. You know, not in any hostile way, but always try to see what it is that you need to bring to the table to get that no to be a yes.
Well, and from your experience, Alana, do you find that, you know, if at least you can start the conversation with a potential investor, it sounds like then you've got an opportunity to find a way under it, around it, over it. But if you don't even get the conversation, are there any strategies that you could share with, you know, entrepreneurs that are looking for seed funding or an investor when they don't get any reply? You know, because I've known entrepreneurs in the past that will say, I've pitched, you know, I presented, but I'm coming up with crickets. And I think that maybe is where you might want to work with, like, a angel investor group, or get some consulting. Because if you're not getting any response, then the question is, well, what's going wrong? Is it in your numbers? Is it the fact that you haven't really identified your market? You know, are you not asking for the right amount, too much? Can you share a little bit about that when you're not even getting a response and maybe what you'd recommend?
So I would go again back to the basics. You know, is this the right business also? A person has to also believe that it's a large enough market that there's no competitor that does what they're doing, that there's a right formula or right direction how to get to revenue, how to mitigate risks. If everyone says no, maybe they see too much risk, and you didn't answer how you would mitigate the risk with a business plan. So sometimes maybe it's a good idea, but the question wasn't answered, and maybe sometimes it's not a great idea. Not every business really deserves to be funded. So, you know, it really, you have to check a few of those check boxes to see that you're in the right business in the right time, and make sure that, you know, you're addressing all the questions in an adequate way. But not every business can get funded, especially if it's not the right business.
Well, and I'm curious, I'm going to go back roads a little bit, but, you know, there again, I mentioned the statistics of women getting funding and women getting and seeking investors. I think women are looking for it. I mean, we have a community of professional women in our association, and I do hear pretty frequently, you know, where women will say, oh, you know, I don't want to go down that path. It's like, in your opinion, Alana, because you've been through this, and I know you interact with other female-led firms, and do you find, is your opinion that women don't think big enough? Is it that women just can't get access to funding like their male counterparts, or any opinion for that? And again, I'm not trying to, you know, go rogue on you with political, because I know we're talking about investors, but, you know, you've gone through it. You are experiencing it. You're interacting with investors and angels. Why do you think so many women feel, or just the statistics don't show that as many women get funding opportunities like male businesses do?
I never felt like that because I'm a woman, and I got plenty of no's in my life. I got way more no's than yes. I've been doing this, so this is my fourth startup, so I accumulated in my bag a lot of rejections and some approvals. And the real thing is, you know, you have to have that grit. You have to have that passion and that long-term goal that you know will keep you motivated, and small little bumps in the way won't be something that discourages you. The perseverance is something very important in fundraising. It's not a short process, as I described. It's not immediate results. Women have to dedicate a lot of time. The time comes on expensive other things. I could tell you personally, it is a price to pay. And if women are willing to pay that price and it's important to them and they have those long-term goals and the passion and want to be accomplished, I don't see anything that could stop them. I've been, you know, men have been my supporters. Women have been investors in the company. But first, the person has to believe in themselves. They have to believe in their technology. They have to believe in their way. And then you have to go through some stages that I mentioned. You have to develop a plan. The plan is very, very important as well, because, first of all, it shows the investor how you'll use the money, but it also aligns the management to know where the money is used and what the goals of the company are. So EVS can't skip stages. You have to work here with a system. And it is long days, long weeks, and long weekends. And the person that really wants to get it gets it at the end of the day if it's in the right business.
That's good advice. Grit and perseverance. Those are my two takeaways from what you just shared. So I think that's some pretty good advice. You know, I'm curious for you with Woven, and I know there are certain things you can share and not tell us on, you know, your current steps right now to seek investors, because you're continuing to do that and you've been successful at it. But what, you know, can you share a couple of things of what you feel that you shared with your message and your pitch and your opportunity with Woven? I mean, I know you shared the target market was absolutely spot on because it's a growing market, you know, individuals aging, and then with what your product and your technology does as an orthopedic solution. What do you feel are the things that you could say are the top three things that you feel were just so spot on where you got the funding? Can you share that?
Yeah, so in addition to the things that you mentioned, I think building the best team and surround yourself with experts, dedicated people, people that are driven, knowledgeable people. So again, for Woven, we chose the number one surgeon in the hospital for special surgery. We chose people that were the chief medical officers and the chief technology officers of the largest company in our industry. And really cherry-picking people that you know will bring the value, because the manager or the CEO could be only as good as the team is. And, you know, my motto is always hire people that are even smarter than you. There's they'll build the team.
Those are all good. Those are good. I got one final question because we're almost out of time. But, I wish we need to have you on here again.
Yeah.
You know, there are so many people that will say, you know, those that have gotten funding will say, we had just a fabulous relationship with our investors. They were so supportive. You know, they were, like, right there if we needed anything, you know, in the short term and the long term. And then I talked to other, you know, female or, you know, different gender entrepreneurs, and they'll say, oh, my gosh, it was such a toxic relationship. And so I'm curious, from your perspective, and since you've gone down this road, what are key things that you need to keep in mind to make sure that investor relationship, number one, is solid, and number two, just like when you were talking earlier, you're pitching your opportunity to an investor, you're also vetting that investor group, right? I mean, you're needing to be selective to make sure they're a good fit with you. So what are some tips you can leave us with on that, you know, because it's got to be a right fit.
Correct. And a lot of our investors and the way we go about it is, again, we want people from our industry because besides the dollar amount, they bring a lot of connections, bring a lot of value, could always run ideas by them. So, yeah, dollar amount is good, but also know-how, knowledge, relationships is very important, and that's what we look at with our investors. So, vetting an investor is very important. We, of course, go through a whole process of accrediting them, understanding their cash position, because we only take from accredited investors. But, again, that's formality. More than that, we really do a lot of due diligence about the person and who he invested with. Does he do follow-up investments in other rounds in the company? How helpful has he been in the business? This through conversation with the individual and perhaps with other portfolio companies that he invested in, I think you could vet someone very, very well. Because at the end of the day, it's not only the money. You want to know that your investors will support you. You want to know that the investors won't be hostile. We make sure to update them constantly. We have every half a year send out by mail, not email, but regular mail, a newsletter to them in order to update them on the highlights of Woven.
And it sounds like it's very interactive, and it's not just a matter of a transaction. I mean, I think clearly the message and the takeaway I'm getting from that is this is a relationship, you know, of communication and, you know, upfront authenticity. You know, the investors can be your greatest ally or just your biggest enemy, and I think you're showing of what to do to have them be an ally, because obviously you are majorly successful at it. And I also want to tell all of our listeners congratulations, because I know when we first got introduced, you were just winning an award, and the award was the 2014 Women of the Year Award for Entrepreneurial Innovation and Leadership, and you also had another award. Did I catch that right from Brandon? Is there another award that you were recently recognized for earlier this year? Which one was that one?
Yeah, it was in the Women's Hall of Fame in Connecticut State. So, yeah, that was the second award year after year. Thank you for mentioning that.
Absolutely. That's how I was really excited to talk to you. And Alana, you know, some of our listeners might be interested in looking to interact with you a little and maybe ask questions or find out more about Woven. What would be a great way for them to contact you?
Yeah, I will give my email. So my email is IODESS@WovenOrthopedics.com.
Say it one more time, Alana.
IODESS@Woven, WOVEN, Orthopedics, OrthopedicsOPEDICS.com. I know that was a mouthful.
That is a mouthful, but you were delightful, and I want to say thank you today for being our leading lady. I know that, you know, for any of our listeners, if you've got questions on Sunday, we want to see more women leading in business and leading the way for running businesses. So, Alana, thanks for all your great advice. And to all of our listeners, I want to share with you. Oh, thank you. It was wonderful today. Next week, I want to share. We're here every Friday at 2 p.m. and Mondays at 9 a.m. Next Friday, our guest is, and our leading lady is, Maria Teckler, and she is the president of Superb Communication, and our topic is Bridge Builders, 5 Communicator Principles for Leadership. I'm excited to have Maria on our show because she is the author of Bridge Builders, How Superb Communicators Get What They Want. And I don't know about all of you, but I definitely want to get what I want, so I think we need to learn to be better communicators. And for all of you, it's Friday afternoon. I hope you have a great weekend. We will see you again next week for another Women Lead Radio show. Have a wonderful weekend. Women Leading the Way is produced by Connected Women of Influence, the premier private membership organization where like-focused, business-to-business executive and professional women connect, collaborate, and cultivate a vast network of high-level affiliations, resources, and professional relationships. For more information about Connected Women of Influence, please visit our website at connectedwomenofinfluence.com.